is Corolla Digital.
This show is sponsored by Hulu Plus. Hulu Plus lets you binge on thousands of hit shows anytime, anywhere on your TV, PC, smartphone, tablet. Support this podcast and get an extended free trial of Hulu Plus when you go to HuluPlus.com/Larry. That's HuluPlus.com/Larry.
From Level 5 City in Glendale, it's This Week with Larry Miller.
Good evening, Mr. and Mrs. America, and everyone who loves Labor Day. Hi, folks, and welcome to This Week with Larry Miller. I'm Larry Miller, but in a way, aren't we all? And you know that music, I say it every week because it's true every week. That music gets better every week and makes me smile every week and feel good about life and good about show business and good about bands and good about songs. And I just love those fellas. I love the fact that they sat there and did that. Of course, that's the Mike Watt Orchestra and the Julie Marwin Dancers featuring boy tenor Patrick Dobrynin. Asking the musical question, why do people pay to go up tall buildings and then put more money into high-powered binoculars to look at things on the ground? Well, that's a pretty good question. And Colonel Jeff and Dr. Chris and I thought that Patrick really hit something on the head there, and hopefully without someone hitting him on the head. But you know something, that's a pretty good question. Why do people go up tall buildings and then put more money into high-powered binoculars to look at things on the ground? Well, first of all, to Patrick and to anyone else worried about this, I think it's important for me to point out, as your host, as your servant, as your joke teller, I think it's important for me to point out that, well, the high-powered binoculars actually cost money because they're not there to look at things on the ground. In case you haven't noticed, there's an apartment building right across the street with single women getting undressed in it. That's what you're supposed to be looking at. Not according to me, obviously, not according to the colonel or the doctor here, not according to you even. But if you're going to look at something through high-powered binoculars, look at them. And you know something? I know that sounds, well, that sounds like what it is. It doesn't sound like a high-class opera thing to do. But you know what? It reminded me of when we were all baby comics together. My friends, Mark King and Steve Schaefer and Bruce, were in a great comedy team. And they lived in an apartment in Manhattan on the Upper West Side, I think near Columbia University. And we used to go over there for, well, the same reason all single men go over to a guy's apartment. It was a big apartment, and we could drink beer there and bring some Chinese food over and have a good time. But in any case, that is a good time without any women around. A good time for young comics to just hang out together and drink beer and eat Chinese food. But in the next building to them, it was only 20 feet away, and they were on a very high floor. They were on the 20th floor or something. And just 20 feet away, across an open air, it's a very short distance, they had a neighbor. Well, it was a different building. It wasn't their neighbor, but it was a young, very attractive, and very healthy, very well-built young woman who used to get undressed before her shower and stay undressed for a minute or two. She didn't get right in the shower. And we used to have, well, let me just put it this way. This was important enough to us that we kept a guard there by their window who could say, when we were in the next room, we were in the living room, and we were doing something, playing cards or eating food or drinking beer, and suddenly he would shout out, "She's doing it again!" And we would all run in there to the window, and sure enough, bless her heart, she was taking her clothes off right by this window. And it finally dawned on us, by the way, if we could see her really well, only 20 feet away and through two big windows. These were big New York apartment windows. And if we could see her pretty well, you got to figure there was a fair chance she could see 18 young men crowded into the other window looking at her. And that didn't seem to matter much because, as the colonel pointed out, see, this is a classic male thing to do. This is one of those things where someone points out, maybe asks the eternal question, what are the differences between men and women? Well, I think this is one. I think it's fair to say this is one of the differences, that we kept going there for the beer and the Chinese food, but we kept a guard by that window so when she was getting undressed, and we would well crowd into our window there and just stand there as long as she would. And she would periodically dance a little. Remember, this is only 2, maybe 3 minutes she was undressed like this. But that was, well, it was plenty. You know, bless her heart, she was very pretty. She was gorgeous and very well built. And then she would do that and then get in the shower. Now, when she got in the shower, naturally, since it wasn't a James Bond movie from the 60s, we didn't want to think, gee, you can almost see her through the shower door. We didn't want to say that. So then, well, we went back to having a beer and eating Chinese food and playing poker. And we left the guard there again, though, just in case she thought, you know what, I've had enough of this shower. Maybe if I got out and danced naked again, I'd feel better in the shower again. And if she did, he would shout again, she's doing it again! And we would come running back in. But that's what you want. If you're a guy, if you're a single guy, and you're, well, alone, and you're not going out with anyone, and you're there with other comics, and you're drinking beer and eating Chinese food and playing poker, you know what? A young, beautiful woman getting undressed, clearly and visibly, in the apartment just across the way, and that was a pretty good thing. That was a blue ribbon winner. And so the answer to the question, say, how's Mark's apartment? You know what? The view is terrific. And we would mean that, and we did mean it. So we didn't need high-powered binoculars to look at her. And I keep wanting to say, bless her heart. I don't know who she is or where she is now or what she's doing. But I'll tell you what, it was looking at her kind of dance around naked before she got in the shower could only be described in one word. It was dandy. So you know what? Good luck to you, whoever you were. And I don't even know, even the guy who yelled, she's doing it again, I don't even know where he is. Who knows? Maybe he met her. Maybe they're married now and they have kids. In any case, though, I think those high-powered binoculars are probably best to look at the apartments across the way. And they were nice apartments. They weren't fancy apartments. They weren't like for rich people apartments. And I certainly hope you have one of those. But it wasn't that. It was for single people who, men and women, young men and women who had just gotten out of college or maybe business school, and they had their first jobs in New York in Wall Street firms like Merrill Lynch or Morgan Stanley or places like that. And they lived in this building. So the chances were pretty good, Patrick, that if you just put the money in the high-powered binoculars and turned them up from the street and looked across the way, I'll bet you could have been looking at the sister of the woman we were looking at. In any case, good question, though, boy. And his question again, why do people pay to go up in tall buildings and then put more money into high-powered binoculars to look at things on the ground? Good question. Especially when you read it the right way, something like instant. Not just, gee, why do they do that, but why do they do that? So, you know what? Thanks, Patrick. There's no answer to that. I've looked at things on the ground, by the way, and I have not looked across the way at the apartment building. The once or twice I have gone up and put money in the binoculars, and I have not looked across the way because it's obvious what you're doing then if you just look across the way. You're not doing anything except trying to find someone getting undressed. Now, is it possible that someone down on the sidewalk, 30 floors below you, is also getting undressed? Sure. And just the chance of that makes it worthwhile putting in the $1.25 or whatever it costs now to look through the high-powered binoculars. And then if you saw someone getting undressed in the window across, you wouldn't be the first one to have muttered, "Holy mackerel, look at that." So in any case, thanks, Patrick. Thanks to the Mike Watt Orchestra, the Julie Marwin Dancers, and boy tenor Patrick Dobrynin. And now, and by Hulu Plus. That's right, Hulu Plus. They are back as a sponsor, and we're awfully glad they are. This is Hulu Plus. Now, as it says here, I'm sure you've tried Hulu.com, but my job today is to tell you about Hulu Plus. Hulu Plus, number one, lets you watch thousands of hit shows anytime, anywhere. Now, I understand you're probably doing that now, but you can do it better with Hulu Plus. Stream it on your TV or on the go with your smartphone or tablet. Why stand in line or ride a train and just stare at your feet? Why? By the way, there might be a pretty girl across the way on the bench in the subway train. I'm just pointing that out. But you could be watching your favorite shows on Hulu Plus. Number two, Hulu Plus is a great way to binge watch your favorite shows. Hulu Plus has tons of episodes from great comedies like SNL, Community, Modern Family, South Park, Family Guy, and literally thousands of other shows. And get this, Hulu Plus is only $7.99 a month. That's $7.99 for all the shows and movies you can watch. Catch up on current shows, binge on an old favorite, or catch a great movie. You can do it all on Hulu Plus. And here's maybe the best news of all. Right now, you can try Hulu Plus for a couple of weeks free on me. That's F-R-E-E, free on me, when you go to HuluPlus.com/Larry. And this can be small letters or large letters or a mixture, any way you like it. Hulu Plus, HuluPlus, HuluPlus.com/Larry. So please make sure you do that. You go to HuluPlus.com/Larry so you get an extended free trial and so they know that we sent you. And that's good for us. Wait a minute. That's good for us. Hey, it helps us keep the lights on here and gives you a better deal. One more time for the extended free trial, HuluPlus.com/Larry. So welcome back, guys, and we hope a lot of our listeners go right to that now and that, well, we can buy more chicken wings here and look across the way at the next apartment. And by Amazon. That's right, Amazon. They're a favorite group of ours because they've been a sponsor for a long time, and we really like it. Amazon, that's right. As you know, you can go on your computer, on your laptop, on your phone, on any screen you have. You go right to Amazon and order anything you want. Anything you want. Right? Wrong! Wrong! That's so wrong. You're as wrong as you could be. You don't do that. You never do that. What you do is you go to our website. Whew. Boy, that was close. You go to our website, which is LarryMillerPodcast.com. Who's on the mountain? Tom Mix. LarryMillerPodcast.com. And there we have a banner that says Amazon. That's right. And you click our banner that says Amazon, and we take you to Amazon. And you're just at Amazon anyway, getting everything you can imagine, everything you've ever wanted, anything you need. On Amazon, you order everything you want, and here's the great deal. You're happy because you've gotten everything you want. Amazon is happy because you've gotten it from them. And we're happy because Amazon then sends us a percentage of what you pay to them. And we save that money, and we're going to use it on our next big fried chicken dinner, where we go to a bar first with other grown-ups and buy drinks. And then we go to our favorite fried chicken place here, and we may do something else a little crazy, go to another fried chicken place. Who knows, maybe even another bar. But the point is, you know what, that's why Amazon is great, and that's why the deal here is great. You go to our website, LarryMillerPodcast.com, click on our banner that says Amazon, order everything you want, and you am Amazon, and we are happy. Thanks, Amazon. And PayPal. That's right, PayPal. PayPal is a favorite of ours. What you do is you go to, again, our website, which remember is LarryMillerPodcast.com. You go to our website, and there's PayPal there. And what that means is, well, we've like to say, buy us a drink. What you do is go to your favorite local bar or a bar you've never been to before, and you find out how much a drink is. And you multiply that by three. That's one for Colonel Jeff, one for Dr. Chris, and one for me. And then you send us that money. And someday, we haven't done it yet, but someday, I'm telling you, and you know that no matter what else I do on our show here, I never lie, because that would make me a bad boy. So you know what? Send us that dough for three drinks, and you can say, hey, I bought Colonel Jeff, Dr. Chris, and Larry a drink on PayPal. So thanks, folks. And that brings us neatly to, well, one of my favorite parts of the show, the joke of the week. That's right, the joke of the week. I love jokes, and not just because I'm a comic, but because you love jokes too, and no one, not you, not I, can ever remember jokes. We can never remember them. You'd think I could remember jokes. I could remember mine. I can remember the ones I write. But for regular jokes, it's hard to remember them. And I love telling a new one every week. It doesn't matter whether they're brand new jokes or as old as the hills, or as my mom used to say, 1 year younger than God. And you know, it doesn't matter. If it's a terrific joke, I look forward to telling it to you. And today, well, when Dr. Chris walked in, I said, have you heard any jokes recently? And he said, you know, I have. And he told Colonel Jeff and me a joke, and we laughed, and I'm going to tell it to you right now. There's a man driving along a city street, and he's going way too fast. He's going 40 and then 60 and then 70 and then 80 miles an hour. He's really weaving around. He's going way too fast. It's not right. It's not safe. It's dangerous. And a policeman sees him and gets on the motorcycle and pulls this guy right over, puts the siren on and the lights, and he pulls this guy over, and he gets off the back and off, and he walks right over to the car with those jodhpurs on. Those are the pants that go fluffing out, by the way, on the side of the leg. And he walks over to the car, and he's going to read this guy the riot act before giving him a beefy ticket. And he walks over to the car, and he sees there's the guy driving the car, but in the back seat of the car, this guy has two penguins, two live penguins, who was sitting there. And he looks at the guy and says, are you kidding me? Are you out of your mind? I was going to give you the biggest ticket in the history of the world, but what in the world are you doing with two penguins here? Hey, first of all, you shouldn't be driving around with two penguins. You're a bad driver anyway. You shouldn't be doing that in the first place. But you shouldn't be driving with it. You should get them, take them to the zoo right now. That's that. And the guy says, yes, sir. Okay. All right, now go on, get out of here. Take them right to the zoo. Folks, would you believe it? The very next day, this same cop is on duty on his motorcycle. The same car and the same driver roll right by, and even faster, even more dangerous than the day before. This guy's weaving. He's bobbing. He's going 70, 90, 100 miles an hour. This guy really jumps on the motorcycle now. He really pulls away. He goes as fast as he can. Lights and siren twice as much as the day before. Pulls him over again, and now he said, that's it. I'm not only going to give this guy a huge ticket, but I'm going to haul him in. I'm going to arrest this guy. He marches up to the car, and he sees there's the same guy driving again. He looks in the back seat. The same two penguins are right there again. And he's dumbfounded. He looks at the penguin, looks at the guy again and says, "What? Are you crazy? You must be out of your mind. I told you to take him to the zoo. Did you take him to the zoo?" And the guy says, "You know, I did, and they loved it. Today we're going to the beach." That's a pretty good joke, isn't it? And remember, as I've mentioned before, it's fun to think of jokes that you can really improvise on the whole way along. It's fun to tell that story. I just added most all of that, and you can add anything when you tell it. So how? What does the city street look like? What is the cop wearing? What is this guy wearing? You could do anything. You can tell what the car was, but you get to that point of the guy the second time. What are you crazy? This is nuts. I told you to take him. Did you take him to the zoo? You know, I didn't. They loved it. Today we're going to the beach. So anyway, that's a pretty good joke of the week. Thank you, Dr. Chris, and thank you, folks, for letting me offer it to you. And there's something else that's good to offer now on my other favorite part of the show now, the Poetry Corner. That's right, the Corner of Poetry. It's so meaningful to me. I always thought that if I ever had, whether it's a TV show, radio show, some show like that, well, like this, where I have a chance to speak to a bunch of folks like you, I always thought poetry is going to be part of it because poetry is a wonderful way to look at life. It's another way to think of life. And when the author, the poet, is great, it really makes a difference in the way we look at our lives that moment, no matter what that fella is talking about. So today on the Poetry Corner, something interesting just happened. This is written by a great poet named Seamus Heaney. Now, you may have read, and I did this week, he just passed away, and I was reading his obituary, and, well, he lived a good long life. I think it was 1939 to today, and I don't know about you, I always add that up. Well, I say that's 61, 71, 82, something like that. So he was in his 80s, and you know what, though? He was from Ireland. He was the poet, the official poet of Ireland, and he lived all over the world, and he won so many awards. And this guy just had a picture that made you think, what a great guy this looks like. I'd like to go to a speech by him. I'd like to go to a show by him. I'd like to hear what he thinks of life as he reads some of his poems. And you know what, though? He's passed on now, but Colonel Jeff and I both thought, well, I've read something by Seamus Heaney before, but we thought it would be particularly meaningful to read one by him today. So we read a few, and they're all good, but you know what? Here's one with a salute to Seamus in heaven there, and this is called Requiem for the Croppies. And here we go, by Seamus Heaney. The pockets of our great coats full of barley, no kitchens on the run, no striking camp. We moved quick and sudden in our own country. The priest lay behind ditches with the tramp. A people hardly marching on the hike. We found new tactics happening every day. We'd cut through reins and rider with the pike and stampede cattle into infantry, then retreat through hedges where cavalry must be thrown until on Vinegar Hill, the final conclave. Terraced thousands died, shaking scythes at cannon. The hillside blushed, soaked in our broken wave. They buried us without shroud or coffin. And in August, the barley grew up out of our grave. By Seamus Heaney. And you know what? Once again, there's a real talent not only for the use of words, but, well, a croppie, by the way, was a local slang for a rebel in Ireland. They were called the croppies. And so this one is a nice one. So nice, that's why it's a good title, Requiem for the Croppies. So thanks to Seamus Heaney. And in a small note that's actually not so small, I was telling Colonel Jeff and Dr. Chris that when I was reading his obituary, there was a picture of him where that was at one of his shows where he was reading poetry. And folks, I'm telling you, you just see that face and you just like the man right off the bat. There's a gleam in his eyes and he's got a smile. Even without smiling, he has a smile. And you think, that's a good soul. That was a good life. That was a good man. And then oddly enough, because newspapers can do this sometimes, accidentally or on purpose, that picture of this wonderful guy, Heaney, was right next to a picture of that San Diego mayor I don't even like saying the guy's name. This guy is, you know, the guy who didn't even fool around. He was just such an awful man. We'd grab these women for years and decades and decades, and no one ever said anything. They all knew he was horrible, and they never said anything. And finally, this guy was forced to retire. Enough women came forward and said, he did this. And you know what, by the way? To see that picture of that guy, and you just say to yourself the same way, you just look at the picture and think, that's a bad man. This is not someone I'd like. This is not someone I want to meet. This is someone I don't want to shake hands with or ever listen to. And his picture is right next to, well, a guy you'd like to know forever, Seamus Heaney. So I guess you never know where poetry is going to take you. And that leads us to, oddly enough, the magic movie moment, which comes at a perfect time, that is to say right after Labor Day. And I said to Colonel Jeff today, let's look up Labor Day movies. Let's look up movies that are right for Labor Day that some list maker says these are the best Labor Day movies you could have. And in this case, there were 10 of them. And they were awfully good movies, and so many I've talked about, a couple of them with you already. But there was one, and I haven't spoken about it yet, and I've seen this movie a handful of times. It was from the late 80s. It's called Matewan. That is M-A-T-E-W-A-N. I used to think it was called Matewan, but you know what? I think it's called Matewan, and it's a true story. It's about mining camps starting and miners' unions starting. This is in the 1920s in West Virginia. And, folks, it's got a wonderful cast with so many folks in it. Chris Cooper, Joe Graffazzi, and Kevin Teague, and who played Griggs? Gregory. Oh, golly. I've got to learn to write these things down. But these are folks you've seen in a ton of movies and a ton of TV shows, and they're all so good. And this story is well told. It reminds you, it's not just about them. Oh, thank you. Colonel Jeff just put it up there. Gordon Clapp is the other actor I was thinking of. You've seen him in 1,000 things. And you know what? They were so good in this one. They didn't overdo it. And it was written and directed, by the way, by John Sayles. And it's a very good movie. It's called Matewan or Matewan, M-A-T-E-W-A-N. But what made this one into something that could be right for the magic movie moment, it's true that I thought, let's look at something for Labor Day, because we just had Labor Day. And let's think about what Labor Day meant. And you know what? That's fine. But this movie does something that very few movies do. It makes you really like and respect just about everyone in it. Oh, there are a couple of bad people in it, so you're not crazy about them. But to see what these folks went through as they were trying to start to learn to make a living in these mines, and as they were trying to learn to organize and negotiate a bit, and just what they went through, what made this a magic movie moment for me is that it was so well acted and so well directed and so well edited that it doesn't hit you over the head with it. You just learn. It brings you in. It takes you in. It lets you in. And you watch these people's lives and, well, you think for a while they might get better, but you know what? You should see the movie and find out. It's a very tough movie, and their lives in it got tougher and tougher. But what makes it a magic movie moment for me is how real and how monumental and how emotional you feel watching the lives of these people go by and watching them think they're doing well and then get angry and then try and do better. But you know what? It's a great American story, and this one is a great example of that in Matewan or Matewan. And you know what? Here's a small note, by the way, that I don't think most people know. I didn't know this till a couple of years ago. That, well, the strikes they had in those days, and sometimes there were battles that they had where the local folks and a lot of the immigrants that they brought in there, trying to get all these groups to work together. Guess what? This is the first time in America that going into these fights in the hills and the forests there, all the miners and all the folks that were going into the fight needed to recognize each other, and they needed to have something. They had no uniforms, and they weren't an army, but they needed to have something where during the day or at night they could recognize that this guy was on your side. And you know what they wore? Rednecks. And they wore red bandanas around their necks, and they were called rednecks. And you know what? Obviously, you know that word. That's a word that's, well, it's been used for a long time. It's sort of an insult or a slash at groups of people. And most of us didn't know or don't know, I didn't know, it's one of the best words in a way, because it started with these folks trying to make their lives better from all these different ethnic groups from all across the world, and especially right here, starting right here in West Virginia. And when they put those red bandanas on, that was the first time a group of people was known as the Rednecks. And, well, I'll bet you a dollar, you and I would like to have been in that group too. If we had to pick a group, we'd like to have been marching through the woods, hoping that we wouldn't get killed in whatever fight was coming up. So in any case, that's the magic movie moment for today. Matewan or Matewan. And boy, I think you're going to like it. And that moved me because I wanted to talk about Labor Day today and what it means that we just had Labor Day. What Labor Day ever meant. What it meant to you this year. What it means to anyone. Because remember something. Labor Day used to be, wow, that's a big holiday. That's a big, big holiday. And remember also that Labor Day was the end of summer officially, and after Labor Day was when school started. It's when it started for me, and every school, I think, across America, well, all the public schools and all the private schools were waiting for Labor Day to start their years. And now, well, it's quite different. All the public schools in Los Angeles have been open for 3 weeks now. And my kids started school the week before Labor Day. And it's just not the same at all. And so the actual holiday, well, the smoke is clear and the actual holiday doesn't quite mean what it used to mean. And I think it was in Grover Cleveland's day in the late 19th century that, well, he started thinking about there was a good time to make a holiday for laborers, for people working. And in those days, remember, obviously, in the 1880s, the concept of who was working and what working for a living meant was very different from what it is today. And still, though, that's where Labor Day started. And it used to be just before school started again. It's not those things now. But you know what? It's still a three-day weekend. And my nephew and his family, his wife and kids, came down from Seattle to see us. And they were staying at a hotel in Santa Monica. It wasn't a fancy place, but they were staying. They wanted to stay at a place. Like, that was a nice place, too. And my wife said, we'll stay with them. They're going to be there 2 nights. She said, let's stay 2 nights, too. And look, as I've said many times before, I love my wife, and I'm going to agree eventually with everything she wants. But there's no choice in that. I mean, she didn't say, hey, I have an idea. Why don't we go? What do you think about us going over there and staying with them, and then we could all be together? She didn't say that. She said, we're going. And so we did. We went to this hotel with my wife and me and our kids. And look, I'm happy to say that it was a decent place. It's not what you call a fancy place. It wasn't where you think, well, we're spending a lot of, and these are a lot of dough, these places. You know that. Anyone sane knows that. This is not going to be a free place. And it's a lot more than $40 a night. And we had a room there, and the kids got to open one of the couches and use as a, well, as a folding bed. And then there was another bed they brought in that they could put in the living room area. And so we were going to be happy staying in this hotel there, and my wife, God bless her, loves the air conditioning. That's something I'm, just touching on again. She was so unhappy staying in our house in the San Fernando Valley. It's been very hot here in Southern California for a long time, and it's been very, very, very hot recently. And today, I'm telling you, is extra special hot. It's extra crispy hot. And you know what? She wanted to go someplace where she could control the air conditioner and she could, well, just put it on whatever level she wanted. And she did. And my kids were in the fold-out beds. And I was with my wife in our bedroom bed there. And she had it. I'll just say this. I got up to, well, use the bathroom two or three times that night because it was so cold I couldn't sleep through the night. And I walked over to look at the thermostat each time. It was 56 in that room. That's a 5 and a 6. Now, I'm not telling you it was 70. I'm not saying it was 65 or 68. I'm not saying it was down to 63 or 62. She had it down. She put it on 54. But it didn't get down to 54. It got down to 56. And these are very accurate. And one of the last times I got up to use the bathroom, I washed up and I just stuck my head in the living room there. And one of the kids got up and they made themselves a little warmer by putting beach towels over them on the blankets. That's actually true, by the way. It's in a way, it's very sad. In a way, it sounds like we were in Matewan. But you know what? One of the kids said to me, and he had whispered it in a husky voice. He said, "Dad, could you turn the air conditioner off? It's so cold." And I said in the same whisper, I said, "I know. It's inhuman. It's not okay here." And he said, "Well, I know Mommy wants it cold, but, you know, do we have to have it this cold?" And I looked at him for a second, and I looked at the other one, and he was up now too, and I said, you know, and I looked back in the bedroom. My wife was asleep, and she was still sleeping. And I mean it when I say this. This was for her. It deserved to be for her. She deserved to make it cold as she wanted. On the other hand, 56 is a little crazy. Do you agree with that? I hope you do. 56 is a little nuts. 56 is not for sane people. There are Eskimos who would look at 56 and say, "That's cold. That's too cold." And you know what? So I looked at my wife and I said to the kids, I held up like one finger, "Wait a second." I went back to the thermostat and I turned it off because it was already 5:30 in the morning or something like that. And I figured, well, we can all sleep another 2 hours or maybe 3 hours to 8 or 8:30. And without the air conditioning, it's already like a meat locker in there. And I looked in and my wife was still sleeping. God bless her. She should sleep. And so I turned it off and I went into the kids and I said, "You know what? I just turned it off. So relax. Go back to sleep. I'm going to go back to sleep. And it won't be any colder than this. In fact, it'll get a little warmer." And they said, "What's the temperature now?" And I said, "I promise you, you don't need to know. And it's just too cold." So it stayed off like that. And I did feel like, well, this is a celebration to Labor Day. This is something where families, where the kids were put in places where they were much too cold or much too hot. And you know what? It was too cold there. And I would do it again for my wife in a second. If she said, "It's too hot, I'm going crazy here where we live. It's too hot. Let's go stay at the same place your nephew stayed." And I said, again, even though it's not fancy and even though it's okay and it was fine there for us, very nice. But you know what? It was too cold. And now for the other side of Labor Day, we found out as we were there for our day and a half or whatever it is, my two kids didn't stay the second night, by the way, because when we got up, they said to me and my wife, "Could we go home? Could Daddy take us home?" And my wife said, "Well, why? Don't you want to all be together?" And they said, the way kids do, they told the truth. They both said, "It's too cold here." And she said, "Look, don't make me feel like I'm a lunatic here because I want it this cold." And I and I did what every good father should do, every good husband and father. I wouldn't let that conversation go on for a half hour where they make each other feel bad and they hurt each other's feelings. I wouldn't do that. I let it go for 10 minutes. You know, just that's plenty where, you know, I could feel some pleasure in how much they hurt each other. But then I just said, look, you know what? And I took them home and they could shower and I got them some food there at the market. And then I went back to the hotel to be with my wife. Because the kids were saying, also, you can't leave mommy alone. And I had my first response was, why not? But they were right. I wouldn't do that. I wouldn't leave her alone. And she deserved to be happy there. So I went back to the hotel. And she and I had dinner with my nephew and his family that night also. And then we went back to our room. And then we got into bed. And it was just predictable, but still amazing. As soon as we got in the room, she turned the air conditioner on again. And again, and it was like that workout scene from Rocky where he's beating the beef up. That's how cold it got in there. And I just said, but I couldn't say something sarcastic. I couldn't say, she said, this isn't too cold, is it? This isn't crazy. I'm not out of my mind. And I said, what every loving spouse should say at a moment like that. I just said, you know what, honey? I'm glad you like it, and you deserve, make it as cold as you want, and I'm glad we came here. I didn't say I'm glad you got the idea for us to come here. I just said I'm glad we came here, and it was a good idea so we could be with my nephew and his family, and you make it as cold as you want. Now, I probably shouldn't say that because she did. She made it as cold as she wanted, and it was 55, but the point is, it was good enough for her, and that actually means a lot. It gets to a point with hotels where it's not about the mini bar. Well, it's not about the meal you had or the chicken wings or how good they are. It's actually about, is your wife happy there, and is she glad you made that trip? And I'll tell you right now, that made Labor Day another important holiday again for me, because she was happy. So she could be happy then. She could know what the temperature was. And I know that Homer is Homer and Pluto is a planet, as you do. And remember, as always, if you got out of bed today and had a job to go to and a home to come back to and someone there who loves you, folks, the game's over and you've won. And that's still the truest thing I know. Have a great start to the school year, and we'll see you here next week. Now that the show is over, don't forget to sign up for your free trial of Hulu Plus. Hulu Plus lets you binge on thousands of hit shows anytime, anywhere on your TV, PC, smartphone, or tablet. Support this podcast and get an extended free trial of Hulu Plus when you go to HuluPlus.com/Larry. That's HuluPlus.com/Larry.